Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 41 of Genesis. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up on one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears of blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then spoke the chief butler to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, he and I. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, and each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted us, it was so it was. He restored to my office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that you cannot understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh the answer of peace. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and ill-favored kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored, as in the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin and blasted, with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears, and told this. And I told this to the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh that he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years, and the dream is one. The 7 thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty years blasted with the east wind shall be the 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh, that God is about to do what he shows unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in your land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food for those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride on the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, excuse me for this one, I don't know, I'll try, Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid it up in the cities. And the food of the field which was round about every city was laid up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering it, for it was without number. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the names of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plentiness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according to Joseph, as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he says to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came to Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all the land. Boy, that was a whole bunch, wasn't it? Let me get a drink of water. About dried me out talking that much. And there was a drought in there. So it says, it came to pass at the end of two full years. Do you know that's not a correct rendering? It says a period of years. It came to pass at a period of time, a period of years. See, it doesn't say 2 years. It's not in the language. That's King James taking the liberty to write something down there. They tried to figure out how long it was or something. It doesn't say it in the language. Somebody took a liberty there. But anyway, it came to pass at the end of a period of years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by what? Actually, it says the Nile River. He stood by the Nile. Why would he say the Nile? Because that's the Nile River's in Egypt. He was right there. Okay, and the language actually says the Nile River specifically. And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine, fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And it should say this. This is the positive. They came up out of the river. That was a positive side. There's a negative side when the other ill ones came out. They were well-favored, or literally they were good-looking cows, plump, and they fed in the meadow. And it should say this. The language actually says along the Nile. In the meadow, along the Nile. And behold, seven other cows, the kind of cows, you should know that by now, came up after them out of the river. There's the negative side, up out of the Nile River. And they were bad-looking and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other cows upon the bank of the Nile River. And the ill-favored, or the bad-looking and lean-fleshed kind, did eat up the well-favored, or the good-looking cows, fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. Well, that'd be kind of a spooky dream to see these cows eating up other cows, wouldn't it? In the natural, what could your mind do with that thing? What do they call something that eats itself? Cannibalistic? Cannibalistic cows. And he slept and dreamed a second time, or again, literally, and behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. Literally what it should say is this. He slept and dreamed again, the second time, and behold, seven heads of grain The word corn was not in their culture, first of all. They didn't have corn. It was grain. It was a type of wheat, more than likely. Came upon one stalk, and it was what? Rank? Well, that word rank means very plump. And behold, seven thin ears, and that means literally very small, and what? Very small heads of grain, and they were what? Scorched with the east wind, which sprung up after them. Kind of like this summer, yeah, it'd be a good example. And the seven thin ears devoured, so the very small ears devoured the heads of grain of the full ears, or the plump ones. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was agitated. The language says he was agitated because he didn't understand. He saw something he didn't understand. And you know, that's one thing that bothers people when they don't know the answer. It used to drive me plumb up a tree. I needed an answer one way or the other. And if I didn't get the answer, it was just I couldn't find peace. But now I can rest in, I'll get it in my time. I will get it in my time. And he sent and called for all the what? Magicians? Literally, it says in the language, it says horoscopists or astrologers. People were playing with the numbers and the stars and trying to figure out everything, the wise men. And all the wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them to Pharaoh. Why? They were conferring with flesh and blood. There was no place for it. How can a natural man tell you about God? Didn't the Bible say that the natural man can receive nothing from God because it's spiritually discerned? Okay. So people try it all the time, and they make up things and add to it, but it's not God. See, if you confer with flesh and blood, you will get flesh. I promise you that. They'll bring all that destruction. Why do I want to give you carnality? Why would I want to give you something carnal? Only to exalt myself that I could give you the answer. And if everybody's got enough carnality. We don't need no more, do we? And if you go to flesh and blood, all you're going to receive is flesh, the same carnality. If I don't ascend into the heavenlies, how could I come back and give you the truth? I got to go up to the heavenlies before I could ever give you anything. I got to go to God for it. And he says this, then spoke the chief butler or the cupbearer to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my crime this day. So he realized something. He was supposed to do something he didn't do. He wasn't thinking back about all the things he did wrong. He's thinking about he didn't do what Joseph asked him to do. Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he put me in confinement in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream, and one night, I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. Notice they didn't dream the same thing, did they? They dreamed it for their own reasons, for whatever God had for them. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. Hebrew, one from beyond. He was different. Did Joseph ever try not to be different? He just was. See, he didn't plan this thing. He didn't say, I think I'll be different and strange and peculiar. And see, the church world reads those verses and says about us being a peculiar people. The word peculiar is not a correct rendering. It's a special people. And they think peculiar. And the world looks at them and says, weird, crazy, off the wall, fruitcake. That's the things that the world labels the church because of the things they do. Because they're running in the natural flesh, and the worldly people can see it as plain as day. They don't need to have someone tell them, do they? They're pressing everybody. They don't need that. Leave them alone. Anyway, he had this dream, and he was a Hebrew from beyond. He wasn't the same. He was a servant to the captain of the guard, and he told him, and he interpreted to us our dream, each man according to his dream that he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored into my office, and him he hanged. And when Pharaoh heard that, he immediately called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and they shaved and changed his clothes, and he came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph responded to Pharaoh, saying, Not till God I'm trying to get this the way I got it stretched out here. Okay, here's what it says. Not until Elohim speaks shall Pharaoh get the answer. What it should say is, not till Elohim speaks shall Pharaoh get the answer. That's what it should literally say. The language is kind of twisted around in King James. It should say, not until God speaks can we have a... See, what was Joseph telling you? God was the one that gave the dream. God will interpret the dream. See, you don't go to another person to interpret dreams unless God wants that person to interpret it. But if God speaks to you in a dream, how should you get the answer? Go back to the one that gave it to you. If God gave it to you, there's a reason for it. You take your time and spend with him, and I guarantee you, you'll go get the answer to it. Because he wouldn't give you the dream for no reason, would he? Sometimes it could be a bad pizza. You might have some kind of a nightmare out there because of eating something late before you went to bed. I don't know. But if God give you the dream, God will give you the answer for it. He don't waste his time. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the Nile River. And behold, there came up out of the Nile River 7 cows, fat flesh, that was plump and good-looking cows. And they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other cows came up after them, very poor and bad-looking, lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for what? Badness? That word badness is this. In all the land of Egypt, I never saw this ugly or poor-looking. That's what it should say, ugly or poor-looking cattle. And the lean and the bad-looking cattle did eat up the first 7 plump cows. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still bad-looking cows. They were skinny, frail, as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, full and good. All the branches were in one vine, weren't they? Right? We are the branches, and he is the vine. He's the stalk. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. Literally it says, and the same stalk, on the same stalk, 7 ears withered and scorched with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin heads of grain devoured the 7 good heads of grain. And I told this unto the magicians or the astrologers and soothsayers, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. The dream is one. And the 7 thin and ill-favored or bad-looking cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears or the worthless heads of grain scorched with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the what? This is the what? Verse 28. What did everybody say? It's the bar, the word. This is the word which I have spoken to Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he shows to Pharaoh. See, it's the word. And remember what he said? You'll not get it until God speaks, till Elohim speaks. Well, Elohim here spoke. Who did he speak through? Spoke through Joseph. Whoever he chooses to speak through, he can speak through, even if it is a dumb ass, like the Balaam. And behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall rise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine because it shall be very severe. And for the dream was, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the word is established by Elohim, and Elohim will shortly do it. Let's stop for a second. I got a picture in my head as I was reading that and preparing. I got a picture in my head. What do you think this 7 good years, 7 lean years is all about? Passover. Everything's just wonderful. Pentecost, it gets kind of tough, don't it? And you know what? There was 7 years of good time, 7 years of bad time, and then we went into Jubilee, didn't we? It's restoration. 7 times 7 is what? 49. 7 times 7, 49. What is number 50? There it is. See? He was setting us up for Jubilee. This is a restoration of all things. Reconciliation of all creation. See, they can't see it. Why? Because their eyes is blinded. But the Spirit of God will open these things to you. This is restoration of all humanity. Now, verse 33, where it says, now therefore, it should say, at this time let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over all the land of Egypt. Who does Pharaoh represent here? Nope. Represents God. Watch what I'm saying. There's always a positive and negative in all the shadows and types, isn't there? Watch what I'm saying. Don't take it out of context. Don't go off on me. Just hang on a second. Let Pharaoh do this thing and choose out. Who chooses everything in the world to be done? Whose plans and purposes are going to prevail? Fathers. Here he's representing the fathers. Watch what I'm saying. I'll bring it around. He said, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up a fifth part or 20% of the land of Egypt into 7 abundant years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up the grain or the wheat under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them guard the food in the cities. And that food shall be to supply the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now, what's he saying? God has made a provision. We can take this all the way back to Genesis 1:1. And when the heaven and earth were formed. He said, in the beginning, God did what? Created heaven and earth. Literally, he formed the God-man, didn't he? And he made a provision. He protected them while they were in what? Ignorance. Did he not? God made a provision for them. He protected them as long as they were in darkness or ignorance. Here again, even though they're in Egypt, they're in the world, what did he do? He provided for them again. Didn't he say, you're worth more than the sparrows, and he provided even for the sparrows? He's taking care of us. That's the thing we can't understand. We keep trying to go back and confer with flesh and blood. How should I do this? How can I make more money? How can I do this to make sure I'm secure? I'm going to tell you what. Nobody's secure in this world unless it's in the hand of God. Because look at the stock market today. Look at the volatile prices on everything. How can you know any money's worth anything today? If I don't trust in God to provide my supply, I'm not going to make it if I trust in myself. If I want to trust in horses and chariots, not me. You can if you want to. I'm trusting in God. And that's the only way I'm going to make it, because everything else can be gone that quick. Go back in history when the stock market crashed. What happened to everybody? Suicide, divorces, just tremendously terrible things happened to people's lives because they were trusting in the wrong thing. They were trusting in the wealth of the world. That's not what God's about. And he made sure that the land didn't perish through the famine. Now, we're getting symbolic here. This part of this chapter is getting very symbolic. So what do you think the land really is? It's us. See? He don't want the land to perish. He wants it to continue, doesn't he? He don't want to wipe us all out and start over again. He wants it to continue. And the word was good. The word or thing is, again, dabar. And the word was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all of his servants. So everybody agreed with him, see, in the beginning. What did he say in Job? Weren't you right there with me and when the morning stars sang together? Huh? We're all agreeing with God. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such as this a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Let me reread it the way it should say. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find this man in whom the Spirit of God is? Well, it should say, literally, by the language. Can we find this man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, since Elohim has showed you all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. So guess what? He figured out already, if Elohim showed him all that stuff, guess what? He must be the man. He has a hookup with God, doesn't he? So guess who he should be listening to? Listen to the man of God. Now, is that the man Joseph, or is that the Christ within him? It's the Christ within him. Here, because Joseph already said, you ain't going to get anything until God speaks. And when God speaks through me, you'll get it. See? You can't make me be like a puppet on a string and control me. It has to be God speaking through me, and then you'll get it. He was talking to a man who could have his head lifted in a split second, wasn't he? And he said, you don't get nothing till God speaks. You know what that showed to the king? There was a man with God in him, because he had enough boldness to stand up to a man, natural man, that could take his life. He said, you don't frighten me, because I know who I am. And see, that's the confidence God wants you to exude from your life, that we're not afraid of what man can do to us, because it's up to God to make that decision. If they're going to do something to us, it's because we need it done to us for his purpose. No credit. It's all up to God. He said, you shall be over my house according to thy word, or your mouth. It should say the word there. Shouldn't even be word. It said, according to your mouth shall all my people be equipped. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And isn't that a picture of God and the Son? Only God, he said, God the Father is greater than I. But he said, all power and authority is given unto the who? The Son. The Christ, Joseph. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. What does that say to you? I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Didn't Father say, I've given it all into your hand? Who is in control of all things now? The Son, isn't he? Father judges no man, but all judgment is given unto the Son, correct? It's all given to the Son. Is God the Father doing anything today? It's all Elohim, the plurality of God. It's the Son, the many-membered body of God. That's what it's all about today. And Pharaoh took off his ring. What is a ring? There he is. We're coming the right way. It's authority. It's a symbol of authority. What did a king do to certify he was writing a law or a dictate? He put that seal of his ring on. That was authority. When he put that seal on something, it was final. It was giving his authority when he took the ring off of his hand and gave it to his son. And did he say, all power and authority I have given unto you, to the Son, right? All power and authority was given to the Son. Is that correct? And that was Joseph the Christ. It's just a pattern of the gospel. From his hand, or from his works or control, he took everything from his control and put it into Joseph's control. And he covered him, or wrapped him, in what? Coverings of what? Fine linen. What's fine linen? Righteousness. White linen speaks of righteousness. And wasn't Jesus arrayed in righteousness? Was he? And he put a gold necklace about his neck. Okay, what's gold symbolism of? The nature of God. He hung the nature of God upon his neck. What does his neck represent? Same as the shoulder, what? Responsibility. So he put the nature of God into the responsibility of God upon him, upon Joseph. Isn't that what the Son did and what Jesus did? He carried the responsibility of God, did he not? Come on, you got to see this picture. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, kneel. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Wasn't all power and authority in heaven and earth given unto the Son? There it is. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. You know what that makes me think of? In John 14:6, no man can go to the Father except through... Do you think anyone could have seen Pharaoh without going through Joseph? I don't think so. There's another passage in John 15:5, and it says, you can do nothing without me or outside of me. If I don't give you the power and authority, you can't do it. And that's exactly what he's saying here to Joseph, who was a type of the Christ. So no man can lift up his what? Hand or foot. What's it saying? No man can lift up. No man can put his works into the heavenly realm. No man can put his lifestyle in the heavenly realm. Hello? There's no one by the flesh is going to enter the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom. Hello? Flesh and blood can't enter in. And he always telling you, man's works is saying, going out and getting me saved. Just say this sinner's prayer, brother, and you'll be saved. That won't elevate your works or your lifestyle into the lifestyle of God. The only way you enter the spirit realm is through spirit. He seeks those to worship him in spirit and truth. Is that right or wrong? Okay, then if I'm going to do anything for God, how has it got to be done, Ed? By spirit, not by a desire to do it, but by being led by the Spirit. And to think that I can save somebody by getting them to say some magic word is ridiculous. It's absurd. The only way it's going to be done is by the power of the Spirit of God. Is that correct? We can't do it on our own. In all the land of Egypt, the whole earth, guess what? Nobody can do it without his power. And Pharaoh called Jason's name, and don't make me try to say that thing again. Y'all looking at that word in that verse 45. You know what it means? It means a treasure of glorious rest. Give me another word for that. Peace. And isn't he the king of Salem, the king of peace? Come on, this is Christ. So he called his name Christ. That's what he's really saying. And he gave him a wife, Asenath. What's her name mean? Belonging to Neith. She was a priest, a daughter of the high priest of On, okay, which speaks of strength. So he gave her a wife. Hello, guess what he gave you, Christ? He gave you a soul. And she's religious. She hangs around that high priest over there, you know? And it's called what? Strength. In Isaiah 6, verse 1, what's it say? Does anybody know what that says? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Do you know what Uzziah means? Strength. In the year that King Uzziah died, in the year that your strength dies, that's when you're going to see him high and lifted up. And that's what this is talking about. See, you got to realize that the strength of that woman, the strength of that sense of that natural religion to you, won't do you any good. But see, God gave it to him. Did he give it to him to destroy? He didn't destroy Eve, did he? He died to restore her. And see, whenever I think I have an enemy in the face of the earth, I've got a problem in my thinking. Today our country is fighting a war that's ridiculous. But it's no more ridiculous than any other war. They're fighting in the name of a lot of things. But you know what? Whenever I can see that someone's my enemy, I've got a problem. Because you know what? If I am the Son of God, if I have the seed of God within me, what am I? I'm God's son. Does God or God's son have enemies? God doesn't have any enemies. Natural man has enemies. God doesn't have enemies. And God doesn't look at anybody as his opposition. Can anybody really oppose God? There ain't no way. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's absurd. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. You know what that tells me? Takes me right to Genesis 2:7. When Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth, he breathed his breath into him and he became a living soul. That's when he went into all the earth, wasn't it? Was it? Didn't you see that? When he breathed his breath into him, he went into the earth. Wasn't that a type of the whole humanity? And look at verse 46. How old was Joseph when he stood before Pharaoh the king? Why was he 30 years old? He didn't come to maturity till 30. A priest had to be 30 years old before he began to be a priest. Joseph's ministry is just beginning, isn't it? To the world, he's just beginning at age 30 before he stood. And it says he was 30 years, that word is bane. He was 30 years a son when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, before he was stood before the king. So any priest that's going to come up today, they take 18-year-old kids and make them preachers. 12-year-old kids are going to make them preachers. Come on, it's ridiculous. They're kids. Their thinking process is not matured yet. And God knows it. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Again, that's Genesis 2:7. He went into all of it. The Spirit of God went into all humanity. Okay? Didn't Jesus leave all of his deity? He left his Father and came to earth. Poured out, emptied all of his deity and became a man, didn't he? Same thing. Okay, verse 47. And in the seven abundant years, the earth brought forth all you could grasp, is what it should say, but all you could grasp. And he gathered up all the food in the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, and the food of the field, which was round about every city, which he laid up in the center. Each city he stored food up, each place. He didn't have one central place. Come on, tell me what he's saying. He didn't store it up in one place, one storehouse. He put it in many storehouses, which you are. He stored it up in different vessels. So wherever, whatever part of the world he's placed you in, he didn't put you in there to travel the world. He put you there and planted you there. Guess what you're supposed to minister to? Where you're at. See? But man has got involved and said, oh, a prophet has no honor in his own country, so run. So run. Go someplace else where you can get some honor and respect. Uh-uh. How far did Jesus run when they wanted to kill him? He stayed right in his own country with no respect and no honor and ministered the word of God as he was told to do. These people running all over the world isn't God. That's what they think they want to do. I'm sorry, that offends people, it offends them. That's the truth. God didn't tell everybody to run over the country. If you think he told you, go ahead and run. But he didn't tell me, and I don't believe the pattern shows that he tells me to run all over the world. What good can it do for me to go to Africa and to some of these countries that make sounds that I don't have any idea what they're talking about? I can't help those people. I can't go to these countries all over Europe and other places where I can't speak their language. I can only speak to the people I speak to. You hear what I'm saying? God didn't send me everywhere. He planted me someplace. That's where I am. Till he chooses to put me somewhere else. And Joseph gathered the grain as the sand of the sea, very much until he left off Durban because it was without number. And Joseph gathered the grain, the word of God. Okay? How many years did he gather? 7. That's a covenant. And 7 years was going to be tough after that, wasn't it? So guess what he's talking about? The sand of the sea. What's he talking about? The first two covenants, Passover and Pentecost. Hey, baby, in them first 2 years, you need some grain. You better start storing in the first year. And in the second year, you're going to live by it. But notice something. In 7 years, he gathered 20% of each one over and kept it. That was the supply, wasn't it? What do you think that would have been? In the Old Testament, there's things that show in the first year they gave 10%, and the third year they gave 30%. What do you think the second year was? 20%. Shows you in the Passover and Pentecostal realm. It's the covenant, the second covenant, or covers the first and second covenant. Now, it says in verse 50, and to Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, bare unto him. What do you think that's all about? 2 sons. How about in the Gospels where he said there was 2 men in the field? One was taken, one was left. 2 were grinding, one was taken, one was left. What he's saying is there is 2 identities hidden within each person. One is a false identity and one is a true identity. Is that correct? There's a false identity and a true identity. Most people is walking around in a false identity thinking that they're a natural human being. But we got to understand that there's a true identity hidden within each one of us. And this is what we're coming to. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And the word Manasseh means causing to forget. He gave him something. God gave Joseph something to cause him to forget. What was it? What did he give him to cause him to forget? He gave him fruit. He gave him a son. He gave him Manasseh. And that's why he called it. He said, God has caused me to forget all the toil and all the troubles that I went through up to this point because he has given me a son. Don't you know that's the heart of the Father? All he wants is a son. He wants the seed to be returned to him. Remember he said, I want a tithe from the earth? What do you think that tithe from the earth is? It's us. He wants that 10% from the earth. We're made from the earth. He wants that tithe back. What he deposited in me and deposited in you, he wants it back. He wants that fellowship. He wants it to come back. He said, because Elohim said he has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. What it made him do was forget about the natural, He said he forgot about his father's house. He wasn't talking about God. He was talking about his father back in where? Egypt. No. Israel. Back in Israel. He forgot his natural father and his other brothers and everybody back there. He forgot that because God gave him a spiritual seed, gave him something to reproduce. If he was a chosen seed, guess what his seed has to be? Chosen. He forgot the natural. Remember he told Abraham, come out of your country, your kindred, and away from your father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim because Elohim has called me to be fruitful, caused me to be fruitful in the land of my depression and misery. In the land of my depression and misery. You know where our depression and misery is? In the land. In the flesh. In the natural. When you realize who you are and God has begun to work through you, you begin to produce fruit, you will forget about the natural. If my family don't like me, so be it. I don't care. I would love them to love me, but you know what? They don't have the capacity to love me because I don't want me to do that. I don't think like they think because I'm an alien. Correct? I don't think like they do, so I'm not liked by them. That's okay, because I know something. And the only thing that'll get you through this is this one thought process. I don't care what people think about me because I know what my father thinks about me. See, that's all you need to know, isn't it? If my father loves me, the rest doesn't mean anything, does it? That's what it's about, see? It's about God. And the 7 years of plenty that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of hunger began to come, according as Joseph said, and the hunger was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was what? Bread or food. What do you think he's talking about really? In the whole land of Egypt there was food. He's not talking about natural food. In this instance, it's a parable, yes. But what's he really saying? There's a food in all the land of Egypt. Hear what I'm saying. There's food within each and every vessel. He has stored the word within your vessel. Hello? You don't have to worry about it because the whole land of Egypt had what? Food. You have the word stored in you. Whether you know it or not, I didn't know when I started I had the word stored in me. The Spirit had to recall to my remembrance the things that was stored in me before the foundation of the world. And until we get there, we're going to think we don't know anything. We're going to look for somebody to teach you something. I can't teach you anything. All I can do is show you what God has already given you. Help you remember what He has given to you. And when all the land of Egypt was hungry, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. And what did Pharaoh say? Go to Joseph. Go to Christ. And do whatever he says. Isn't that what the story's all about? What did Jesus' mother say? Whatever he says to do? John chapter 2? Do it. See? Do whatever he says. And that's the whole thing. If you do what he says, tell me what you are. You're obedient son. You're the obedient son. That's all he's looking for. He'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. That's all he's after. And look at here. Do whatever he says, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. What he's saying was, the whole face of the earth, the whole identity of humanity was hungering for the word of God. There was a famine in the land, wasn't there? And Christ opened all the storehouses. When he went to the cross, it says, there was a great storm on the earth, wasn't there? And it got dark. And there was a great earthquake, was there not? And the veil was rent from the bottom to the top, right? And it says now in Hebrews that we can boldly enter into the throne room because he opened it up to all of us, did he not? He opened it to the whole humanity, not to a few select people. There's our problem. We think only a few people can get this. But it's for everyone in his own order. But it's for all. He opened up the whole humanity to the whole of Egypt, the whole of the earth, rather. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. And all the earth came to Egypt, to Joseph, to buy, because the famine was so severe in all the land. You know what's going to come a day? People talk about, they talk all this religious stuff, but when are they feeding somebody? And I'm not talking about giving them biscuits and gravy for breakfast. I'm talking about when you're going to feed them with the bread of life. When's the church going to provide? See, they don't even know what we're talking about. But there's going to come a time when everybody is going to have to stop running to church to get fixed. They're going to have to go to Christ to get fed, because we can't keep eating this. What do they call that stuff for babies? It's not really milk. Pablum? Similac or some of them. I don't know. I'm old. I know that. That's what they used to call it. It's something else. It's not really milk. It's artificial milk. Well, that's what the church has been feeding you for years and years and years. It's enough to sustain you till you get some teeth where you can chew on something yourself. Well, you know what? That's all it is. It's sustaining. I'm tired of being sustained. I want to live life. Don't you? I want to experience all the life that God can give me today. I don't want to hear somebody tell me about it. I want that experience. And I want it for you too. I want you to experience this life. And you can't do it until you come to Christ to get fed. You got to realize that Joseph is our supply. He is our type of Christ. And the Christ is who we have to go to get it. No longer will we confer with flesh and blood. Correct? We got to no longer confer with flesh and blood. I don't need to confer with my natural way of thinking, do I? Or anybody else's natural way of thinking. I need to confer with the Spirit of God that's in me, and you've got to confer with the Spirit of God in you, because He's there.